I am now going to start my Krishna book class. We are in the midst of chapter number 47, Delivery of the Message of Krishna to the Gopis. We are in the middle of the chapter. The paragraph begins, when Uddhava said that he had a message from Krishna. Before I begin the narration, let me first of all offer my respectful obeisances to our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi, Paschatya Deshatarane. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tarari Vasa Hishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Harinama, Harinama, Harinamaiva Kivalam, Kalau Nastyeva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now let us continue with chapter 47, Delivery of the Message of Krishna to the Gopis. When Uddhava said that he had a message from Krishna, the gopis were more interested in hearing the message than they were in hearing about their exalted position. They did not very much like being praised for their high position. They showed their anxiety to hear the message Uddhava had brought from Krishna. Uddhava said, "My dear gopis, I am especially deputed to carry this message to you, who are such great and gentle devotees. Krishna has specifically sent me to you because I am his most confidential servitor." Uddhava did not deliver to the gopis the written message brought from Krishna, but he personally read it to them. The message was very gravely written, so that not only the gopis, but all empiric philosophers might understand how pure love of God is intrinsically integrated with all the different energies of the Supreme Lord. From Vedic information, it is understood that the Supreme Lord has multi-energies, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shriyate. Also, the gopis were such intimate personal friends of Krishna that while he was writing the message for them, he was so moved that he could not write distinctly. Uddhava, as a student of Brihaspati, had very sharp intelligence. So, instead of handing over the written message, he thought it wise to read it personally and explain it to them. Uddhava continued, "These are the words of the Personality of Godhead. My dear gopis, my dear friends, please know that separation between ourselves is impossible at any time, at any place, or under any circumstances, because I am all-pervading." And now, Prabhupada will give a purport to this first statement from Krishna through Uddhava to the gopis. This all-pervasiveness of Krishna is explained in the Bhagavad Gita in both 9th and 7th chapters. In the 9th chapter, Krishna is described as all-pervasive in his impersonal feature. Everything rests in him, but he is not personally present everywhere. And in the 7th chapter, it is stated that the 5 gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, and the 3 subtle elements, mind, intelligence, and ego, are all his inferior energies. But there is another, superior energy, which is called the living entity. Tomorrow's class will be all about the living entity. So if you want to come again tomorrow at this time, we will have an entire class on the living entity as explained by Srila Prabhupada in his letters to disciples. The living entities are also directly part and parcel of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is both the material and the efficient cause of everything. He is always intermingled with everything as cause and effect. Not only the gopis, but all living entities are always inseparably connected with Krishna in all circumstances. The gopis, however, are perfectly and thoroughly in cognition of this relationship with Krishna, whereas the living entities, under the spell of Maya, the illusory energy, are forgetful of Krishna and think themselves separate identities, having no connection with him. Love of Krishna, or Krishna consciousness, is therefore the perfection of real knowledge in understanding things as they are. Our minds can never be vacant. The mind is constantly occupied with some kind of thought, and the subject matter of such thought cannot be outside the 8 elements of Krishna's energy. One who knows this philosophical aspect of all thoughts is actually a wise man, and he surrenders unto Krishna. The gopis are the epitome of this perfectional stage of knowledge. They are not simple mental speculators. Their minds are always in Krishna. The mind is nothing but the energy of Krishna. Actually, any person who can think, feel, and will cannot be separated from Krishna. But the stage in which he can understand his eternal relationship with Krishna is called Krishna consciousness. The disease condition in which one cannot understand his or her eternal relationship with Krishna is the contaminated stage, or Maya. Since the gopis are on the platform of pure transcendental knowledge, their minds are always filled with Krishna consciousness. For example, as there is no separation between fire and air, there is no separation between Krishna and the living entities. When the living entities forget Krishna, they are not in their normal condition. As for the gopis, because they are always thinking of Krishna, they are on the absolute stage of perfection in knowledge. The so-called empiric philosophers sometimes think that the path of bhakti is meant for the less intelligent. But unless the so-called man of knowledge comes to the platform of bhakti, his knowledge is certainly impure and imperfect. Actually, the stage of forgetfulness of our eternal relationship with Krishna is separation. But that is also illusory because there is no separation. The gopis were not situated in that illusory condition of life. So even from the philosophical point of view, for them, there was no separation. Uddhava continued reading Krishna's message. Nothing is separate from me. The whole cosmic manifestation is resting on me and is not separate from me. Before the creation, I was existing. Prabhupada now will give a purport of this statement. This is confirmed in the Vedic literature. Eko Narayana Asin Na Brahma Na Ishana. Before creation, there was only Narayan. There was no Brahma and no Shiva. The whole cosmic manifestation is manipulated by the three modes of material nature. It is said that Brahma, the incarnation of the quality of passion, created this universe. But Brahma is the secondary creator. The original creator is Narayan. This is confirmed by Shankara Acharya, Narayana Paro Vyaktat. Narayan is transcendental, beyond this cosmic creation. In this way, nothing within this cosmic manifestation is separate from Krishna. Although Krishna's original form is not visible in everything, Krishna creates, maintains, and annihilates the whole cosmic manifestation by expanding himself in different incarnations. Everything is Krishna, and everything depends on Krishna, but he is not perceived in the material energy, and therefore it is called Maya, or illusion. In the spiritual energy, however, Krishna is perceived at every step, in all circumstances. This perfectional stage of understanding is represented by the gopis. As Krishna is always aloof from the cosmic manifestation, although it is completely dependent on him, so a living entity is also completely aloof from his or her material conditioned life, although the material body has developed on the basis of spiritual existence. In the Bhagavad Gita, the whole cosmic manifestation is accepted as the mother of the living entities, and Krishna is the father. As the father impregnates the mother by injecting the living entity within the womb, Krishna injects all the living entities into the womb of material nature. They come out in different bodies according to their different fruitive activities. But in all circumstances, the living entity is aloof from this material conditioned life. If we simply study our own bodies, we can understand how a living entity is always aloof from this bodily engagement. Every action of the body takes place by the interactions of the three modes of material nature. We can see at every moment many changes taking place in our bodies, but the spirit soul is aloof from all changes. One can neither create nor annihilate nor interfere with the actions of material nature. The living entity is therefore entrapped by the material body and conditioned in three stages, namely, while awake, asleep, and unconscious. The mind acts throughout all three conditions of life. The living entity in his sleeping or dreaming condition sees something as real, and when awake, he sees the same thing as unreal. It is concluded, therefore, that under certain circumstances, he accepts something as real, and under other circumstances, he accepts the very same thing as unreal. These matters are the subject of study for the empiric philosopher or the Sankhya yogi. To come to the right conclusion, Sankhya yogis undergo severe austerities and penances, practicing control of the senses and renunciation. All these different ways of determining the ultimate goal of life are compared to rivers, and Krishna is compared to the ocean. As the rivers flow down toward the ocean, all attempts for knowledge flow toward Krishna. After many, many births of endeavor, when one actually comes to Krishna, he attains the perfectional stage. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Klesho adhikataraste sham avyaktasakta chetasam. All are pursuing the path of realizing me. But those who have adopted courses without any bhakti find their endeavor very troublesome. Krishna cannot be understood unless one comes to the point of bhakti. Three paths are enunciated in the Bhagavad Gita: Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Bhakti Yoga. Those who are too much addicted to fruitive activities are advised to perform actions which will bring them to bhakti. Those who are addicted to the pursuit of empiric philosophy are also advised to act in such a way that they will realize bhakti. Karma Yoga is therefore different from ordinary karma, and Jnana Yoga is different from ordinary jnana. Ultimately, as stated by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita, bhaktyamam abhijanati, only through execution of devotional service can one understand Krishna. The perfectional stage of devotional service was achieved by the gopis because they did not care to know anything but Krishna. It is confirmed in the Vedas, Kasmin bhagavo vigyate sarvam idam vigyatam bhavati. This means that simply by knowing Krishna, one automatically acquires all other knowledge. Uddhava continued reading Krishna's message. Transcendental knowledge of the Absolute is no longer necessary for you gopis. You were accustomed to loving me from the very beginning of your lives. Prabhupada comments, knowledge of the Absolute Truth is specifically required for persons who want liberation from material existence. But one who has attained love for Krishna is already on the platform of liberation. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, anyone engaged in unalloyed devotional service is to be considered situated on the transcendental platform of liberation. The gopis did not actually feel any pangs of material existence, but they felt the separation of Krishna. Krishna therefore said, "My dear gopis, to increase your super excellent love for me, I have purposely separated myself from you so that you may be in constant meditation on me." Prabhupada explains, the gopis are in the perfectional stage of meditation. Yogis are generally more fond of meditating than they are of executing devotional service to the Lord. But they do not know that the perfection of the yoga system is the attainment of devotion. This constant meditation on Krishna by the gopis is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita to be the topmost yoga. Krishna knew very well the psychology of women. When a woman's beloved is away, she thinks of him more in meditation than when he is present before her. Krishna wanted to teach through the behavior of the gopis that one who is constantly in trance like the gopis surely attains his lotus feet. Lord Chaitanya taught people in general the method of Vipralambha Seva, which is the method of rendering service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the feeling of separation. The six Goswamis also taught worship of Krishna in the feeling of the gopis in separation. The prayers composed by Srinivas Acharya about the Goswamis explain these matters very clearly. Srinivas Acharya said that the Goswamis were always absorbed in the ocean of transcendental feelings in the mood of the gopis. When they lived in Vrindavan, they were searching for Krishna, crying out, "Where are you, Krishna? O gopis, where are you? Where are you, Srimati Radharani?" They never said, "We have now seen Radha and Krishna, and therefore our mission is fulfilled." Their mission remained always unfulfilled. They never met Radha and Krishna. Krishna reminded the gopis that at the time of the Rasa dance, those gopis who could not join him for the Rasa Leela gave up their bodies simply by thinking of him. Absorption in Krishna consciousness by feeling separation is thus the quickest method for attainment of the lotus feet of Krishna. By the personal statement of Krishna, the gopis were convinced about the strength of feelings of separation. They were actually experiencing the supernatural method of Krishna worship and were very much relieved by understanding that Krishna was not away from them, but always with them. The gopis therefore received Uddhava very happily and began to speak as follows. "We have heard that King Kamsa, who was always a source of trouble for the Yadu dynasty, has now been killed. This is good news for us. We hope, therefore, that the members of the Yadu dynasty are very happy in the association of Krishna, who can fulfill all the desires of his devotees. My dear Uddhava, kindly let us know whether Krishna sometimes thinks of us while in the midst of the highly enlightened society girls in Mathura. We know that the women and girls in Mathura are not village women. They are enlightened and beautiful. Their bashful smiling glances and other feminine features must be very pleasing to Krishna. We know very well that Krishna is always fond of the behavior of beautiful women. It seems, therefore, that he has been entrapped by the women of Mathura. My dear Uddhava, will you kindly let us know if Krishna sometimes remembers us while in the midst of other women? Another gopi inquired, does he remember that night in the midst of Kumuda flowers and the moonlight, when Vrindavan became exceedingly beautiful? Krishna was dancing with us, and the atmosphere was surcharged with the sound of footbells. We exchanged pleasing conversation then. Does he remember that particular night? We remember that night, and we feel separation. Separation from Krishna makes us agitated, as if there were fire in our bodies. Does he propose to come back to Vrindavan to extinguish that fire, just as a cloud appears in the sky to extinguish a forest fire by its downpour? Another gopi said, Krishna has killed his enemy, and he has victoriously achieved the kingdom of Kamsa. Maybe he is married with a king's daughter by this time, and living happily among his kinsmen and friends. Therefore, why should he come to this village of Vrindavan? Another gopi said, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the husband of the Goddess of Fortune, and he is self-sufficient. He has no business either with us, the girls in the Vrindavan forest, or with the city girls in Mathura. He is the great super soul. He has nothing to do with any of us, either here or there. Another gopi said, it is an unreasonable hope for us to expect Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. We should try instead to be happy in disappointment. Even Pingala, the great prostitute, said that disappointment is the greatest pleasure. We all know these things, but it is very difficult for us to give up the expectation of Krishna's coming back. Who can forget a solitary conversation with Krishna, on whose chest the Goddess of Fortune always remains, in spite of Krishna's not desiring her? My dear Uddhava, Vrindavan is the land of rivers, forests, and cows. Here, the vibration of the flute was heard, and Krishna, along with his elder brother Sri Balaram, enjoyed the atmosphere in our company. Thus the environment of Vrindavan constantly reminds us of Krishna and Balaram. On the land of Vrindavan are the impressions of his footprints, the residence of the Goddess of Fortune, and because of such signs, we cannot forget Krishna. The gopis further expressed that Vrindavan was still full of all opulence and good fortune. There was no scarcity or want in Vrindavan, as far as material necessities were concerned. But in spite of such opulence, they could not forget Krishna and Balaram. We constantly remember various attractive features of beautiful Krishna. His walking, his smiling, his joking words. We have all become lost by the dealings of Krishna, and it is impossible for us to forget him. We always pray to him, exclaiming, "Dear Lord, dear husband of the goddess of fortune, dear Lord of Vrindavan, and deliverer of the distressed devotees, we are now merged in an ocean of distress. Please, therefore, come back to Vrindavan and deliver this from this pitiable condition." Uddhava minutely studied the transcendental abnormal condition of the gopis in their separation from Krishna, and he thought it wise to repeat again and again all the pastimes the gopis had enjoyed with him. Materialistic persons are always burning in a blazing fire of material miseries. The gopis were burning in a transcendental blazing fire due to separation from Krishna. The blazing fire exasperating the gopis, however, is different from the fire of the material world. The gopis constantly wanted the association of Krishna, whereas materialistic persons constantly want the advantage of material comforts. It is stated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that Krishna saved the cowherd boys from the blazing forest fire within a second, while their eyes were closed. Similarly, Uddhava advised the gopis that they could be saved from the fire of separation by closing their eyes and meditating on the activities of Krishna from the very beginning of their association with him. From the outside, the gopis could visualize all the pastimes of Krishna by hearing the descriptions of Uddhava, and from within they could remember those pastimes. From the instructions of Uddhava, the gopis could understand that Krishna was not separate from them. As they were constantly thinking of Krishna, Krishna was also thinking of them constantly while at Mathura. Uddhava's message and instructions saved the gopis from immediate death, and the gopis acknowledged the benediction from Uddhava. Uddhava practically acted as the preceptor spiritual master of the gopis, and in return they worshipped him as they would worship Krishna. It is recommended in authoritative scriptures that the spiritual master be worshipped on the level of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of being his very confidential servitor. and it is accepted by great authorities that the spiritual master is the external manifestation of Krishna. The gopis were relieved from their transcendental burning condition by realizing that Krishna was with them. Internally, they remembered his association within their hearts, and externally, Uddhava helped them associate with Krishna by his conclusive instructions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in the scriptures as Adhoksaja, which indicates that he is beyond the perception of all material senses. Although beyond the material senses, he is present in everyone's heart. At the same time, he is present everywhere by his all-pervasive feature of Brahman. One can realize all three transcendental features of the Absolute Truth, namely Bhagavan, the Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, the localized Supersoul, and the all-pervasive Brahman, simply by studying the condition of the gopis in their meeting with Uddhava, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said by Srinivasacharya that the six Goswamis were always merged in thoughts of the activities of the gopis. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also recommended the gopis' method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead as super excellent. Srila Shukadeva Goswami has also recommended that anyone who hears from the right source about the dealings of the gopis with Krishna and who follows the instructions laid down by the previous acharyas will be elevated to the topmost position of devotional service and be able to give up lust of material enjoyment. All the gopis were solaced by the instructions of Uddhava, and they requested him to stay in Vrindavan for a few days more. Uddhava agreed to their proposal and stayed with them not only for a few days, but for a few months. He always kept them engaged in thinking of the transcendental message of Krishna and his pastimes, and the gopis felt as if they were experiencing direct association with Krishna. While Uddhava remained in Vrindavan, the inhabitants enjoyed his association. As they discussed the activities of Krishna, the days passed just like moments. Vrindavan's natural atmosphere, with the presence of the river Yamuna, its nice orchards of trees decorated with various fruits, Govardhan Hill, caves, blooming flowers, all combined to inspire Uddhava to narrate Krishna's pastimes. The inhabitants enjoyed Uddhava's association in the same way that they enjoyed the association of Krishna. Uddhava was attracted by the attitude of the gopis because they were completely attached to Krishna, and he was inspired by the gopis' anxiety for Krishna. He offered them his respectful obeisances and composed songs in praise of their transcendental activities as follows. Among all the living entities who have accepted the human form of life, the gopis are super excellently successful in their mission. Their thought is eternally absorbed in the lotus feet of Krishna. Great sages, and we ourselves, also try to be absorbed in meditation on the lotus feet of Krishna. But the gopis, having lovingly accepted the Lord, are automatically accustomed to this and do not depend on any yogic practice. The conclusion is that one who has attained the gopi's condition of life does not have to take birth as Lord Brahma, or be born in a Brahmin family, or be initiated as a Brahmin. Sri Uddhava confirmed Lord Krishna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita that one who takes shelter of him for the right person, be that Shudra, a woman, or a member of a low-grade family, will attain the highest goal of life. The gopis have set the standard of devotion for the whole world. One who follows in the footsteps of the gopis by constantly thinking of Krishna can attain the highest perfectional stage of spiritual life. The gopis were born not of any highly cultured family, but of cowherd men. Yet they developed the highest love for Krishna, who is the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Brahman. For self-realization or God-realization, there is no need to take birth in a high family. The only thing needed is development of ecstatic love. For achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness, no qualification is required other than to be constantly engaged in the loving service of Krishna, the supreme nectar, the reservoir of all pleasure. The effect of taking up Krishna consciousness is just like that of drinking nectar. With or without one's knowledge, it will act. The active principle of Krishna consciousness will equally manifest itself everywhere. It does not matter how and where one has to take his or her birth. Krishna will bestow his benediction upon anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness without any doubt. Uddhava then continued, "The supreme benediction attained by the gopis, in spite of their being born in the families of cowherd men, was never attained even by the goddess of fortune herself, and certainly not by the denizens of heaven, though the bodily scent of the women there is exactly like the scent of the lotus. The gopis are so fortunate that during the Rasa Leela, Krishna personally embraced them with his arms and kissed them face to face. Certainly, it is not possible for any woman in the three worlds to achieve this except the gopis. Therefore, I wish to take birth as one of the plants or creepers in Vrindavan, who are so fortunate that the gopis trample them. The gopis have so lovingly served Krishna, Mukunda himself, the giver of liberation, who is searched after by great sages and saintly persons. For his sake, they left everything, their families, their children, their friends, their homes, and all worldly connections." Uddhava appreciated the exalted position of the gopis and wished to fall down and take the dust of their feet on his head. Yet, he dared not ask the gopis to offer the dust from their feet. Perhaps they would not be agreeable. Therefore, to have his head smeared with the dust of the gopis' feet without their knowledge, he desired to become only an insignificant clump of grass or herbs in the land of Vrindavan. The gopis were so much attracted to Krishna that when they heard the vibration of his flute, they instantly left their homes, families, children, honor, and feminine bashfulness, and ran toward the place where Krishna was standing. They did not consider whether they were passing over the road or through the jungles. Imperceptibly, the dust of their feet was bestowed on small grasses and herbs of Vrindavan. Not daring to place the dust of the gopis' feet on his own head in this life, Uddhava aspired to have a future birth in Vrindavan in the position of a clump of grass or herbs. He would then be able to have the dust of the gopis' feet. Uddhava appreciated the extraordinary fortune of the gopis, who were relieved of all material pangs and anxieties by placing on their beautiful high breasts the lotus feet of Krishna, which are worshipped not only by the goddess of fortune, but by such exalted demigods as Brahma and Lord Shiva, and which great yogis meditate upon within their hearts. Thus Uddhava prayed to be constantly honored by the dust from the lotus feet of the gopis, whose chanting of Lord Krishna's transcendental pastimes has become celebrated all over the three worlds. After living in Vrindavan for some time, Uddhava desired to go back to Krishna, and he begged permission to leave from Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. He had a farewell meeting with the gopis, and taking permission from them also, he mounted his chariot to start for Mathura. When Uddhava was about to leave, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, headed by Maharaj Nanda and Yashoda, came to bid him goodbye and presented him with various kinds of valuable goods secured in Vrindavan. They expressed their feelings with tears in their eyes due to intense attachment for Krishna. All of them desired a benediction from Uddhava. They desired to always remember the glorious activities of Krishna and wanted their minds to be always fixed upon his lotus feet, their words to be always engaged in glorifying him, and their bodies to be always engaged in bowing down as they constantly remembered him. This prayer of the inhabitants of Vrindavan is the super excellent type of self-realization. The method is very simple: to fix the mind always on the lotus feet of Krishna, to talk always of Krishna without passing on to any other subject matter, and to engage the body in Krishna's service constantly. Especially in this human form of life, one should engage his or her life, resources, words, and intelligence for the service of the Lord. Only such activities can elevate a human being to the highest level of perfection. This is the verdict of all authorities. The inhabitants of Vrindavan then said, By the will of the Supreme Authority, and according to the results of our own work, we may take our birth anywhere. It doesn't matter where we are born, but our only prayer is that we may simply be engaged in Krishna consciousness. A pure devotee of Lord Krishna never desires to be promoted to the heavenly planets or even to Vaikuntha or Goloka Vrindavan because he has no desire for his own personal satisfaction. A pure devotee regards heaven and hell to be on an equal level. Without Krishna, heaven is hell, and with Krishna, hell is heaven. When Uddhava had been sufficiently honored and worshipped by the pure devotees of Vrindavan, he returned to Mathura to his master Krishna. After offering respects by bowing down before Lord Krishna and Balaram, he described the wonderful devotional life of the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Then he presented to Vasudeva, Krishna's father, and Ugrasena, Krishna's grandfather, all the gifts given by the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 47th chapter of Krishna entitled Delivery of the Message of Krishna to the Gopis.
Shringam Dalita Hiranya
Kashipu Tanu Bringam Keshava Jita Nadaha Diruba Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Keshava Jita Nadaha Diruba Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Jai Jagadisha Jai Jagadisha Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So I'll see you tomorrow night. We start at the same time, 6 p.m. And there'll be a special class on the topic of Jiva Tattva, the living entity, as described in letters which Prabhupada wrote to questions posed by his disciples. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.